Welcome to worship. What follows is a complete pre-recorded worship service for the third Sunday in Easter. You will need a bowl of water to serve as your baptismal font for the Thanksgiving for Baptism rite that takes place right at the beginning of the service. Personally, I drug out the biggest bowl in our house and filled it to the brim with water. That is sitting on our kitchen counter, and it will remain there all during the Easter season to remind everyone in our household that we are baptized children of God. So you'll want a bowl of water to do that for yourself as well, so you can participate in that rite. If you are interested in receiving Holy Communion, there is a Zoom link included in the text below. If you scroll down, you'll see that. My recommendation is that you worship using this pre-recorded service, and then you can join Holy Communion any Sunday at 11 a.m. So be sure to worship before that time so that the Holy Communion occurs as the conclusion of your worship time. Just click on that Zoom link and you'll be ushered right into the room where Holy Communion will be served at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. You will need to prepare bread and wine or grape juice in your household and have that ready for that part of the service. Please stay tuned at the end of the worship for time-sensitive community announcements. Welcome to worship and happy Easter. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are raised with him to new life. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you created us in your image and planted us in a well-watered garden. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched, and you gave us water from the rock. When we did not know the way, you sent the Good Shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross, you watered us from Jesus' wounded side, and on this day you shower us again with the water of life. We praise you for your salvation through water, for the water in this font, and for all water everywhere. Bathe us in your forgiveness, grace, and love. Satisfy the thirsty and give us the new life only you can give. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Take a moment to remember your baptism. You may mark your forehead with the sign of the cross with your finger dipped in water.
This is ELW 374, Day of Arising.
Let us pray. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith, that we may see him in his redeeming work, he who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord. Acts 2:14a and 36 to 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel today is in the 24th chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 13. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have taken place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, now how he had been made known to them and the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This time I would remind you that we have some various files and songs and stuff like that other activities for children. If you'll just look on this same page where the sermon was, it may be another link that talks about the stuff for children. But I encourage you to take a look at that and share it with your children if you have them. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's a strange time. And one of the more interesting conversations that I notice that we're having as a society, is around what is essential and what is not essential. And for some, this is a pretty upsetting conversation because it sounds like we're saying that some people are essential and some people are not essential. I certainly hope that is not the case. But we do recognize that with regard to kind of the basics of life, the things that we need, like, well, certainly we need food and water, but we without lodging, and so we need utilities, things like that. And of course, in all the infrastructure that's designed to provide this, and of course, in the time of this pandemic, the needs of the medical personnel, the nurses and doctors and physicians' assistants and everybody else that's involved with the delivery of those things that help keep us healthy, that we're realizing how essential they are and how critical. Anyway, this conversation about essential and not essential kind of reminds us that there's a lot of things that we take for granted. We are very fortunate in this society to live in a time where we get to indulge in a lot of things that are not essential. And at this time, we're reminded that things as basic as food, being able to eat, and things like that are extremely essential. Well, taking a look at the gospel lesson today, it's a story that many of you probably know. It's referred to as the road to Emmaus. So a couple of disciples are walking there and pretty clearly kind of dejected because they're still in mourning from having witnessed the crucifixion of their master, of their rabbi, of their leader, of the one who they thought to be the Messiah, the one who was going to save them. And so they certainly heard about the assertion that Jesus is risen, but it's so hard for them to believe. Anyway, and so Jesus encounters them, begins talking with them, and he kind of intrudes on their conversation and continues on. And so the way the story ends up is then they invite him to come in to stay with them for the evening because it was getting dark, and to have supper with them. And so he does. And then in the breaking of the bread, he is revealed. I would say on one hand, it's easy to say that, these disciples, they encounter Jesus without recognizing him on the road and to Emmaus. And then they found Jesus in Emmaus, and kind of locating the place where Jesus was, that Jesus showed up in Emmaus. And I think quite often we go through life kind of looking for those places and looking to find Jesus in places other than where we are. We may go on pilgrimages, or we may go to holy sites. Certainly, at least I was going to say, we gather on Sundays to worship in our sanctuary at Church of the Cross, only, of course, we're not doing that now. But certainly when we go to a sanctuary, which is a word for a holy place, we look forward to encountering Jesus there, encountering God there. Or when we go to a retreat, or go to another religious site, or look for Jesus in kind of some of the spectacular. And instead of characterizing Jesus as being found and recognized in Emmaus, I would like to think about Jesus being found in that which is essential, in that which is the center of our lives. Jesus, it was in the eating of the bread that they recognized Jesus. And really, if you think about it, there's almost nothing more essential than eating and drinking. If we don't eat, if we don't drink, then we die. So in that activity that is something that we all share as humans, and that very essential activity, we find Jesus. Jesus is present to those disciples, and they were able to recognize him in the center of their lives, in the center of their activity, as opposed to out on the fringes. Part of my comments are informed by a Lutheran theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was ended up being martyred during World War II because of his efforts to try to keep Hitler from staying in power. And what initially he got arrested for his participation in that plot. And while he was in prison, spent a lot of time, first of all, ministering to people, other prisoners there in jail when there were air raids and things like that. But he also wrote a lot of letters. And it's from those letters that a lot of real depth of understanding of God and Jesus is revealed. And one of the things he kind of thinks about is how often we tend to look for God in the miraculous, kind of in especially on the edge of knowledge. If you think about early on before we understood why it rained sometimes and why it didn't, then it was up to God to bring the rain, or if there's something, in essence, if we didn't understand something, then we tended as humans to grant that to God. And he was speculating that as we learn more and more with science and increase our capability with technology, that if our God is only the God, he would call it the stopgap or the God of the edges, if God is only out there kind of and has the powers that are just on the periphery of our knowledge, and so then as we increase our knowledge, then our God gets smaller. And what he talked about is instead of looking for the gods at the edges of our knowledge, at the edges and the boundaries of what we know, he talked about finding Christ in the center of our lives, not at the edges, but in the center. And in this walk to Emmaus, I think that's what those disciples encountered. It was in the eating that they recognized Jesus. If you have eyes to see, if you have hearts that are open, then you can recognize Jesus in the midst of that which is essential for us as humans. There's a wonderful verse in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Talks about God is love. I think it goes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Those that do not know God, those that do not love do not know God, for God is love." And if we think about love and relationship as being essential to our lives, and that God is that love, then in a very real sense, we can look and expect and find God, Jesus, in the very essence and core of our lives. This is a different way of kind of viewing so many of the things that we do, looking for Jesus in the very often mundane things of life that's going on every day. And I would assert that during this pandemic time, we have a unique opportunity, because so much of what we usually fill our time with in this society, the kind of lots of buying and selling and things like that, has kind of been put on hold a little bit, kind of a forced Sabbath, so to speak. And it's helped us to realize how much of our society really is this transactional kind of thing, where if you want something, you pay for it. And if somebody wants something from you, they pay you and you provide it. I mean, it's kind of how, it's the core of our economy. All of a sudden, that's majorly disrupted. And the opportunity is to find kind of, you might say, the kingdom of God society, or the reign of God society, where instead of the main currency being money, which is what we're used to, the main currency is love. And so the goal and profit of God's kingdom, of God's reign, is relationship. And if you invest in that, spend lots and lots of love and develop lots and lots of relationship, what you end up with is real, deep, caring community. And in that real, deep, caring community, God is everywhere. Jesus is everywhere because that's who God is. God is love. Whenever a loving act happens, it says God is there. And those participating in it are participating in the work of Jesus. Wherever there is love, Jesus can be found and recognized. May this be a time where our hearts burn in the sense of we can feel and sense that something divine is going on. And may we develop the hearts to see Jesus in the center, in the essence of our lives. It's so energizing. I was out, I got out of quarantine on Tuesday evening, and one of the first things I did is went for a walk with Laura and Paul, and they showed me the painted rocks along the hike and bike trail. And these are rocks that people have painted with words of hope, encouragement, saying things like, you don't know how strong you are until you have to be strong. And also, I mean, lots of more fun, which is like, what a creative, loving thing to do to encourage, give heart to people, in essence, an expression of love. And so, you know, I like to think that when people were painting those rocks, Jesus was there painting the rocks. When somebody picks up the phone or sends an email to somebody that they haven't connected with for a while who might need an encouraging word, to think that Jesus is there on the phone or on the laptop. I've heard stories of folks in our congregation sewing the face masks so that people can wear those and not and be part of the stopping of this pandemic. To think that there and the sewing of the mask, Jesus' hands are at work creating the mask and Jesus is present. Or I heard stories about people baking food and giving it to others, or even preparing meals and providing it to folks who are too busy taking care of the sick, etc., to be able to do that, to provide that for themselves, or people who just aren't able to get out and get food. That Jesus is there in the baking and the cooking and the preparing and the delivering. And certainly, gosh, I mean, all the folks that are hands-on as far as helping with the sick and helping take care of them and hopefully help them heal. Gotta believe that Jesus' hands, Jesus' presence, that Jesus is there in the midst of those. So I invite you to use this as a time where you start looking for and expecting to find the ways that Jesus is at work, the way Jesus is appearing to us in the essence, in the center of our lives. If you're not in the habit of saying a prayer before a meal, I invite you to do so. I mean, one of the best known ones is, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food dust be blessed." In that very act of eating and drinking that keeps us alive, we recognize that Jesus is there with us and to be found. So I conclude our time together with a very famous prayer. Let us pray. May the Christ who walks on wounded feet walk with you on the road. May the Christ who serves with wounded hands stretch out your hands to serve. May the Christ who loves with a wounded heart open your hearts to love. May you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And may everyone you meet see the face of Christ in you. Amen, my friends. Thank you.
Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and all places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. For those whose hearts are fervent with love for your gospel, that they are empowered to tell the story of your love in their lives and show hospitality in response to this love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the diverse natural world, for jungles, prairies, forests, valleys, mountains, and for all the wild and endangered animals who call these spaces home, that they are nurtured and protected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For broken systems we have inherited and that we continue to perpetuate, forgive us. Restrain the nations from fighting over limited resources. Redeem us from the cycles of scarcity and violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all who call upon your healing name, give rest. Stay with us and walk with all those who are hungry, friendless, despairing, and desiring healing in body and spirit, especially everyone who is suffering from COVID-19, their families, and all who work to restore their health. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the faith-forming ministries of this church and for the ways we are growing and changing in creativity and communion in this time of separation. For all people everywhere who are preparing for baptism, First Communion, confirmation, and membership, and whose relationship with the church is dependent upon being face-to-face. For all who participate in Sunday school and adult education and are finding new ways to learn and grow. Guide and inspire learners of every age and every ability, and those who teach them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For what else do the people of God pray? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Create in our hearts a yearning to rest in your promise of eternal and resurrected life. Give us thankful hearts for those who have died, even as we look forward to the hope of new life with you. We remember Mike Kerr, Will Sanders, Albert and Velma Holk, Shannon Hebert, Ed Cooper, Clark Hansen, Lauren Voisin, Shirley Pepler, Joe Baer, Sharon Tager, and Ron Kletke. Lord, hold their families in your mercy and your care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive a blessing. May the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, bless you now and forever. Amen. Christ is risen, just as he said. Go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia.
ELW 389, Christ is Alive.
Christ is alive, let Christ see, the cross stands alive.
Peace be with you. This is a reminder that there is also worship for children. That includes a link to Word for Children with the story of Lost and Found and the Road to Emmaus. Both of those have video recordings of those children's books with questions that follow each of the stories and a chance for prayer. And I invite you to use this resource with your children to have a conversation about today's scripture and about how it relates to their lives. We are starting to add several online opportunities, so please click on the online opportunity tab on the website to see what's available. In particular, we are creating a storytelling workshop. So we'll teach you to tell biblical stories by heart, and we're going to use the summer to prepare for a storytelling extravaganza event, and we'd like to have several people participate as storytellers. We will coach you and teach you and step with you every step along the way, and you'll have plenty of time to learn a story by heart. If that's a new experience for you, don't be scared. It's easier than memorizing and much more personal and heartfelt than that. So the goal is to learn to tell biblical stories as well as you tell the stories of your own lives. There are other opportunities available there, so please check that out. We are also beginning to add weekly Bible studies and other opportunities along with morning prayer. So just check out the website. You might want to spend some time just moving around the tabs to see what we're adding. We're having to do quite a lot of adjustment to our life together, and these opportunities are a way for you to connect not only with the pastors, but with other people in the congregation and other people who are discipling. Speaking of morning prayer, either Pastor Phil or I or both of us are available Monday through Saturday for morning prayer at 10 a.m., We have a short time where we pray together for somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes, and then we're available for conversation and connection following that. So I encourage you to check out morning prayer if you haven't done that already. Well, and keep checking it out if you have. It's a good opportunity for us to stay connected and for us to hear your concerns. And we're just being present and available for people. So we invite you to that opportunity. Look for the crossbeams this week. It's coming out by the end of the week, and we're including an update from Council. Just pay close attention to those communications that come from the Church of the Cross email website. If you have any concerns or you have ideas for how we can expand ministry and help people connect with one another, or ideas for how we can be more present to the community, please call the church office. In fact, call the church office for anything that you need. That phone number is connected to Diane's cell phone, and so it is being answered, and that is the best way to get information to us, and we will certainly listen to your feedback and make changes as appropriate, and look forward to hearing from you. We ask you to share your good news and your creativity with the community by emailing stories of things that have happened that are really great. Things that you notice that are giving life and making these days joyous. Email those things either to the church office or to one of the pastors. We're going to begin collecting those things and posting them on the website under a tab called Good News. We are also hosting an art show. That art show will be going on all summer, so we encourage you to express yourself in any creative way you wish, and also to contact me or the church office with those offerings, and we'll be in touch with you about how to get them on the website. We will begin posting art next week, May 3rd. So look for that under the art show tab that will appear on our website. Grace and peace be with you. It is good to connect in the ways that we can, and I encourage you to connect with the people around you. Give someone you haven't spoken to in a while a call. Ask how they're doing, reconnect, and just continue to build on your relationships in all the ways that you can. Like I said, if you need anything at all, just call. We're happy to respond, and we look forward to the time that we can be together again face to face.